think we're learning how live disc golf works. You know, there's so many unique aspects about how we are able to execute a live broadcast that are so different, and there's so many different logistical problems that we have that a lot of other big sports don't, say, you know, ball golf or your traditional like arena sports and stuff. We're constantly moving. We do have a limited number of resources as far as like live cameras and people and stuff like that. So we're just, you know, we're really just learning how the disc golf broadcast works, and we're learning by just doing it, you know, and trying new things, failing and succeeding, and all that good stuff that you do on the path of like learning how to do something.
Today we have on Brian Cole and Sam Gaddis from the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Paige, what can the listeners expect today?
Yeah, so these two are higher ups on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Brian is the operations and logistics manager, and Sam is the manager of media. So the whole media team. So we're going to get a look behind the scenes of what goes on the media team, and then also what goes into setting up events. And hopefully they will answer a lot of our questions.
Yes, I know we have a lot of questions about the Disc Golf Pro Tour, so let's get on into it. All right. Hello, here we have Sam and Brian from the Disc Golf Pro Tour here with us on Approachable. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves and let us know what you do for the Disc Golf Pro Tour?
Yeah, my name is Brian Cole. I am the Director of Operations for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. So it's kind of a lot of the event coordination and everything that goes on in the event site.
My name is Sam Gaddis, Media Operations Manager for the Pro Tour. Basically, I just handle all things that have to do with the live broadcast on site. So anything you can think of, that's basically what I'm paying attention to.
Amazing. So what you're saying is you guys are incredibly busy.
Very much so.
Yeah, very Amazing. Much during the year. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to know, and I'm sure what a lot of our listeners would want to know, is how many people do you have on staff?
Yeah, so as far as the media side of things go, last year we did it with four full-time media members, including myself. We did enlist the help of a lot of regional freelancers. So we would have people come out either who were in town and were close and had media experience, or we had a couple people that we would have come out to different events all over the country. So fairly small staff, but we are growing.
Wow.
So, but yeah, that's what we were dealing with last year.
Being an organization that travels the country, you guys are obviously, like you said, getting regional people. So how does that process go about? Like, how do you, how do you have time to set up, tear down, plan for, say, Idlewild, and then you know very next week you have Ledgestone and you have to hire all these new people? How does that process go? Are you, Sam, in charge of finding the talent and kind of like vetting them?
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of that I try and get done way ahead of time. Sometimes it's harder to find people in different areas, and you kind of have to weigh all your options, and then maybe you have to fly someone out who may be a little bit more expensive, or, you know, whatever. But yeah, we're always trying to find people in town, but it's a lot of, you know, word of mouth. I'll talk to local tournament directors and see if they have any people that they know. I'll reach out to some of the growing network of disc golf media people that I know, look for suggestions. But yeah, it's just a lot of just kind of word of mouth right now, finding those types of people, and yeah, just filling in. They were great this year. Like, we had such a great crew of freelancers that came on, and it was great, especially towards the end of the year. They were just like part of the crew, so it was awesome.
Yeah, I notice, you know, being a player who is filmed a lot, I see the new faces. You know, I always see you around, but it's fun to see new faces and then them adapt from day one to day three. You can tell how much they've learned. And, you know, I think it's personally fascinating to watch you run around and talk into your little headset and be like, hey, no, you're over there. And so it's cool that you guys are kind of like, obviously, in the credentials is you have to have media experience. You have to have some sort of broadcasting experience, right? But not all of these people have seen a disc fly before. So it's cool to kind of watch them get excited to see the flight and then to learn about it. So I just wonder, like, kind of what your ratio is, and do you find that you get a lot of applicants that aren't disc golfers? And if so, I'm curious how they find this position. Like, are you guys posting this on Craigslist or anything like that? How do these people find out about this?
Well, we're doing more formal hiring right now for the media crew. So I think next year we'll have more full-time people on staff. We'll still be using some freelancers here and there. But yeah, you know, sometimes it is a little, you know, you don't really know what you're getting into. But I mean, it's kind of like a low risk position too. I think a lot of times they're like one-off kind of freelancers and stuff like that. And it usually works out just great. You know, some people maybe don't quite know what they're getting into, and then they, you know, they get into it. They're like, oh wow, this is a lot different. Cause you know, shooting disc golf is very unique to doing sports media, very unique from any other sport. So it takes the right kind of person to be able to do it for sure.
A lot more exercise involved than just, you know, sitting on the sideline of a basketball game. You're walking miles. So yeah, I've kind of seen the giant cameras and kind of noticed their demeanor is like, oh man, okay, only on hole 14. All right.
So I think that's yeah.
So Brian, you know, obviously Sam, when we hear media manager, we kind of have a better idea what that means, but what exactly does the operations and logistics manager, like what, when you're on site at an event, what are you finding yourself doing most of the time?
Yeah, I mean, I can start kind of just with my elevator pitch that I would give to people last year, was that the Disc Golf Pro Tour owns three trailers, and it's basically my job to get those three trailers around the country and take everything that's inside of them and get it out onto the courses and manage the logistics of that. We start course setup, and our operations team last year was pretty small. We had a core group of people. We ended up hiring another operations coordinator mid-season. And I don't work with any contractors per se, but what we do is work with volunteers to put on these huge, large events like this. It's a huge volunteer base. So right from the course setup side, you know, we're managing, you know, 15, 20 volunteers to go get everything out onto the course. And then when it comes to in event time, it's kind of a split between your typical tournament director duties, and just making sure, you know, tee times are set, volunteers are out where they need to be, to then it kind of rolls into facilitating that live broadcast where we kind of focus our efforts as soon as we go live. We want to make sure everything is set and ready to go, and those volunteers are in the right place and the spectators are in the right place, getting the right show that they want to see. So in event, I'm doing a lot of volunteer coordination, working with the local event crew, and then leading the crowd control efforts. So making sure people get where they need to be, and making sure Sam and his crew can also get to where they need to be. And
I've noticed on your website and just through social media on Instagram and stuff that you guys have added on new roles like environmental coordinator, director of health, stuff like this. So these are brand new positions for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. And I'm curious how you know a new role needs to be made, and then who's in charge of making, like finding that person, and can they be remote or do they have to be on the tour with you guys?
For operations, you know, we're kind of running around wearing a lot of different hats. And so we do know where to hire based on, you know, where we spend our time, and then kind of where we want to be spending our time, so that we can train up an individual to take over a job that we're doing so that we can go spend time on something that we see we can improve on. As far as like what we're hiring in the immediate future, you know, more operations coordinators, which are the folks that are out there week in and week out setting up the courses, making sure that out of bounds looks right, making sure volunteers are taken care of, and making sure our own staff is taken care of. And then there's a lot of technical positions that, you know, we see needs for. And those are generally the ones that are maybe remote. And that is just a company effort. You know, we have some upper management that has some great vision. There's a board that's giving us input. That's a tough one. There's a lot of need and places to grow into. So
basically, you know, we're still a very small company, especially for this, like what we're trying to do and the scale we're trying to get to. So pretty much if you can think of a job, we're probably at some point going to be hiring for it. Especially in media. I think the way I've been kind of thinking about the media positions here is that, you know, our common goal and our common denominator is the live broadcast, but there's so much other stuff that needs to get done outside of that, you know, pre-event media and all that stuff. So it's been really fun to try and like assemble a well-rounded team full of people who all have that thing in common, but all have their own like specific things that they're really good at, whether it's audio, editing, just being a fantastic shooter, someone who really has an eye for how to make a course really look good on camera. So it's basically, it's a very young team. It's a very young, what we're trying to do. And so, yeah, we're just, at some point, I'm sure there'll be a job for everything. We are looking to expand and have more media people on the ground to be able to do things like maybe do some more advanced work or, get things ready before the, like, you know, we show up on Monday and have to get everything done in the week leading up to it. So, and then as far as a hiring effort, there's, you know, a bunch of people are part of it. You know, everyone kind of has their own department that they're looking at and kind of spearheading the hiring there.
Yeah. So how many people do you plan to have in 2022? How many are you roles are you opening up?
That's a great question. It's actually something we're still kind of looking to nail down, especially on the media side. Part of the thing is just like really trying to flesh out exactly how the broadcast is going to look and the things that we want to add to the next year. So and just figuring out how many people are going to need. So I don't quite have an answer for you now. It's going to be a couple and maybe more.
Yeah, I'm so surprised to hear that you said four. I mean, I kind of know that because I see you guys every week, but for the amount of things you guys are putting out, like you just said, press conferences, the live production, you guys are seriously working so hard. And to hear that number, I'm like, wow, you guys seriously are busting your butts out there, killing it. And, you know, I think for me, it seems like such a role that would be sought after so strongly because you guys are working so closely to the pros that all these people are looking up to and wanting to watch. And there you are, front row seat. And, you know, we're friends. I would consider both of you friends. And, you know, I feel like I know everybody that works for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. And so it seems like, you know, if you guys want some roles filled, that you're not going to have a problem with that.
It hasn't been a problem. It's actually amazing every time. You know, this is the second year I've gone through the hiring process for this type of job, and I'm just always been blown away by the types of people that want to work for us, and it's really, really cool. It's a good feeling. It makes you feel like you're doing something right, and people see what you're doing, and they want to be a part of it. So luckily, that hasn't been a problem. You know, tons of great candidates and tons of great people who want to just jump on and be part of it.
That's so great to hear. And one of the things that I've noticed you both say as you're kind of experimenting with each year that you're growing and like the growth of disc golf has happened like quite a bit here in the last little while. Just like how has that changed from the past and how long have you been working for Disc Golf Pro Tour and how have you seen your different roles and your different teams? How have you seen yourselves kind of shift to like transition into a different role?
So I've been with the tour since last January. So just 1 year for me. And you know, the boom that happened last year during COVID was interesting. We get a lot of spectators and a lot of interest. It was kind of an interesting time to be running events. It did allow us to kind of test pilot some new programs, which was nice because it was a little, you know, we don't have 2,000 spectators coming on site for some of those events. So that was kind of a nice like testing grounds for some things. As far as kind of those roles that develop with the tour within the company, it kind of goes back to like how, like what you spend your time doing and what you can delegate.
So I started, 2020 was my first year. Little did I know what was in front of me at Waco, and everything just kind of changed there. Yeah, so yeah, joining, doing the memorial and just, like, all right, this is what it's going to be. And then, yeah, Waco coming around and everything changing, shutting down. Yeah, I got to join on in this new iteration of the Pro Tour. So it was kind of like a starting from scratch as far as I could, as my experience was joining on and being part of the road crew. So my personal position has evolved a lot from being, really the, I started as like the only, experienced media person on the Pro Tour on the road in 2020. And then now we have, this past year we had four of us, and now next year is going to be more of us. So me, it's just kind of transitioning in from like this really hands-on, like just get it going kind of role to now, I'm trying to, start building a really big team of people who are talented in all sorts of different things. So it's just more of that type of evolution for me as far as I've seen it.
I know that Brian, you were talking a little bit more about like how the local volunteers can make an impact. And do you want to like touch on a little bit more about what can the local communities do to help out with the Disc Golf Pro Tour and how can they be involved?
Like I said, it's a large event and it's largely volunteer run. And so we don't foresee that really changing in our future. It's one of the kind of great things I think that our sport is, in that area where you can still volunteer and kind of come close to the professionals and get to interact with them. So it's really kind of like a special thing for disc golf to be so volunteer-led at events. As far as getting out there and getting involved, I mean, you can always look to your local club or the events team that run the events that are on tour, and you can come out and volunteer for our events. We are always in need of literally hundreds of volunteers for every event. But on a more like grassroots level, just getting out to your local club and your local leagues, and seeing how you can help elevate their tournaments, I think is a big thing for folks. And that's kind of how a lot of people in our industry, that's their in, right? Is there's not necessarily a lot of jobs out there, but there's a lot of opportunity to volunteer and kind of become a prominent member of your community.
Yeah, and I feel like just volunteering to kind of get your foot in the door and get you networking and get you talking to the right people, learning more, building your experience, and that totally helps out. I'm curious about like what lessons you guys learned in 2021 and what you're going to take moving forward into 2022. For me, I'm curious of like your 5-year plan and like are there, I don't know which of you is more versed in this in the marketing aspect, but I'm curious like what our marketing plan is. I'm saying our, but I feel like I'm a part of the Pro Tour, but what the marketing plan is. Yeah, I know, but yeah, what the marketing plan is like in my mind, I want to be driving down the highway down 35. I'm headed towards Waco and I see a billboard that says Disc Golf Pro Tour this weekend and commercials on TV, et cetera, stuff like that, where we're building more hype and we're putting to rest the stigma of disc golf is just a casual sport and we're seeing it on ESPN, but now can we start marketing on TV as well instead of just that hour-long segment? Now we're going to have commercials all throughout your other sports that you watch.
You kind of asked about, lessons we learned over 2021. And what I can say about that part is I think we're learning how live disc golf works. There's so many unique aspects about how we shoot, how we are able to execute a live broadcast that are so different. And there are so many different logistical problems that we have that a lot of other big sports don't, say, ball golf or, just, your traditional like arena sports and stuff. We're constantly moving. We do have a limited number of resources as far as like live cameras and people and stuff like that. So we're just, you know, we're really just learning how of the disc golf broadcast works, and we're learning by just doing it, you know, and trying new things, failing and succeeding, and all the good stuff that you do on the path of like learning how to do something. So that's something that's really, it's starting to come together. We're starting to get like a real, we feel like we're able to now like start to replicate, you know, what we're doing. And now it's just trying to figure out exactly which direction we need to go in different aspects of the broadcast.
I don't have any exclusives to drop, but I can tell you, you know, we're continuing to push towards national media coverage. You've seen us work with ESPN in the past. We'll continue to do that. And then to Paige's point about, you know, wanting to see a billboard out there, I think that's all going to grow naturally. I'm sure we've all probably seen the billboards outside of Emporia. I think that will grow with some of these event sites that become well-established, like, you know, Peoria or Maple Hill, that type of area. So we're going to continue to grow these events using the hybrid model of, like, you know, this is a live streaming broadcast, but you can also come be an in-person spectator. And so that'll kind of grow organically as those events grow. And you know, we're going to be looking in that five-year range. We're trying to host more and more 3,000 to 5,000 person events, which for reference, our largest events last year were more like 2,000. So in a 5-year time frame, we're trying to grow these events to, you know, twice that.
I have a quick question about what is one thing do you think that would make a huge difference to the Disc Golf Pro Tour to run it smoothly, but you wouldn't necessarily think about it?
That's a great question.
More cell coverage, more data.
Yeah. Better cell phone coverage for sure.
So like there was one issue where like there's certain courses we just can't cover. Obviously, you know, Milo McIver and the Beaver State Fling and Santa Cruz Masters Cup. Those are two that we would love to cover, but there's just not a feasible way right now where we can do that. And then in addition to that, what we actually saw was when we have 2,000 spectators on site, we're literally using all the data. Like, and so we started to have to ask people to turn their data off or put their phone on airplane mode. Cause Sam and his cameras, they upload using cell network data. So it's kind of an interesting, like, hey, we're big enough to affect how much data is available out there, but we're not quite big enough to affect the people in control of that data to really do much about it yet, if I understand it correctly. So
yeah, I was laughing so hard seeing Jeff Spring running around the course like, hey, everybody, put your phones on airplane mode. You know, that was growing pains for sure, but it makes me wonder, are we then, two things based on what you guys both just answered. Are we considering the cell coverage and then also venues that can hold over 2,000 people? Those two things are strongly going into a question when you're thinking about 2022 and beyond venues. You know, what else goes into that? I'm asking for the TDs out there listening that want to get a Disc Golf Pro Tour in their city. What else are you guys looking for in a city to become a Disc Golf Pro Tour?
So cell coverage, you know, we need for our live coverage. The disc golf course, obviously that's an easy one. There's so many good courses out there that we can't go to, and it's unfortunate just because they don't have the other facilities around that. So the other things that are deal breakers are like parking and the ability to have a large amount of spectators. Like just facilities, buildings, where Sam and the media team can set up and do their thing. Local communities around disc golf are a big thing. Like if you have the perfect event site, but you don't have a local club or a local event team with all those local contacts, it's a pretty big undertaking to kind of start building that. So it's a lot easier for us to come in and kind of overlay what we do in towns like, you know, Charlotte is amazing. what Kale's going on up at the preserve is great. They've got a great, you know, network up there. So those are the kind of the big things that we look for, besides obviously just having sweet holes and good disc golf courses.
This one is pretty far out there, but you know, we are getting to a point where, and this is me, you know, I was just asking a question for the tournament directors. Now here I am asking for the Nate Sextons and the dads, basically the moms and the dads who want to play these events. Maybe they have a full-time job. There's no, currently there's no like daycare or pet sitting or anything like that. I know that seems out there, but is that like a long-term plan? Have you guys talked about that? Maybe having some sort of facility where it's more friendly to your everyday person and not someone who, because there's kind of this thought of like, oh, if you live the tour life, you don't really have a family, you don't have kids, you don't have this. And so I think that that would be something cool if you haven't started thinking about, just to kind of put a little bug in your ear that, you know, that could create the, that could fill a huge void of getting more players that might be a 1040 rated local pro to come onto the tour.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of making it more livable. We've started to approach this now with our tour card program, which Paige, I'm sure you're aware of. So we're start small, right? Right now we're trying to get some dedicated player parking out there, get some locker room facilities out there for you guys. Cause like you said, right now there's not much of a infrastructure if you're going to be traveling and you're not just living out of a van. So we're trying to slowly add that infrastructure to make that tour life, a little more accommodating. We'll be adding, you know, player hospitality tents. And then you can kind of see as these events start to grow from, you know, the local C tiers that we've all used to, you know, probably have all played hundreds of 10 years ago to now where we're hosting these, you know, 5,000 person events that actually have some industry around them, where, right, somebody else could even come in and say, hey, I'm going to run this daycare. It's going to be a business, and it's going to serve a need, and it's actually going to be viable, and I'm not just going to be, you know, babysitting one kid or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I mean, what the type of question you bring up, I think, is it's in the area of, like, you know, the Pro Tour originally started, you know, back when Steve started it, it was about having a sustainable schedule, right? Is that's it was like a geographically you know thought out pro tour that, you know, made sense for people to do. And I think that philosophy has really just kind of taken off on the pro tour. It's about, how do we make this sport more accessible? How do we make this an industry that is, you know, more realistic to work in? How do we get the best people to come out and do this? And it's about treating, you know, it's about sustainability. It's about, you know, making sure that this is something that people can do year after year after year. And mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, working for the Pro Tour, you know, it's definitely a company that takes you as a human into consideration in your needs as like an employee who does, you know, go on the road and does, you know, go from place to place every single week. And I see that just like an overarching philosophy in the Pro Tour of making things sustainable. So if there are things we can do to make, you know, yeah, the lives and tour lives of parents better, then yeah, I'm sure that's always on the table. And like, you know, just little things here and there, I feel like the Pro Tour has consistently tried to address those as they come.
And I think that would help with you guys as well for staff. You know, it's more likely that you would get different people applying for the jobs and working for you guys if it was more sustainable for families on the road. So cool. That's awesome to hear. That's very exciting. With your recent merger with the national tours, I wondered, you know, we saw an event like the Masters Cup get taken off and the Beaver State Fling taken off, but you still see, I think it's 18 events for the Disc Golf Pro Tour next year. Is that correct?
Yeah, it depends on how you define it. We're gonna arrive probably closer to 30, 28, 28, I think we have on the schedule.
Okay,
right
with
now.
The Silver Series. Yeah. Yeah, so my question is, you know, is there any thought of making that number smaller and focusing on the events at hand, just having longer to prepare for them, for both the players and for you guys? You know, instead of, like you said, your weekly schedule on Monday, you're unloading and here you are. It seems like, you know, if we just had 10 events that were, you know, the cream of the crop, basically, it would kind of flow better for everyone. But then I know the fans are going to butt in and say, hey, we want more disc golf. So I just wonder, you know, internally what talks are about the number of events and what the plan is in the future.
Yeah, it's definitely a debatable subject. I would say we're not necessarily looking to minimize the amount of events that we're involved with. We're generally trying to grow that, but it's not for lack of what, you know, you mentioned about being able to prepare more for like the cream of the crop events. So that's kind of what we do with the Elite Series, right? Those are our big events that we want people to take time to prepare for. And the way that we see it in regards to players like yourself, Paige, is that, you know, we don't want you to have to play or feel obligated to play every event or really any of the Silver Series events necessarily. So to get to a point where you can pick and choose those, even though there's going to be 30, you know, or down the road, 40 events per year, I think it's just part of a kind of a growing pain of where we are with disc golf, which is, you know, unfortunate for some people. Some people at the top of the sport do have the ability to pick and choose the events. And there's a large swath of people who are trying to make it on tour who feel obligated or like financially, mm-hmm. you know, need to get those winnings in the Silver Series or those points to get to the championship every week. So it's a balance. For our team internally, this comes into, you know, the hiring. So you'll see us moving employees and trailers out there sooner to event sites. We'll have an advanced team and start getting event sites. And, you know, hopefully when you're arriving from another event, we're already there welcoming you with a finished course and we're not, you know, scrambling to get it set up.
That's definitely something that, you know, is talked about a lot through the pros. And I'm sure that you guys are well aware of this. You know, I think one of the coolest parts about the Disc Golf Pro Tour from a player's perspective is, you know, the fact that we have a players page on Facebook where it's just the players and the higher ups. And we kind of talk about the growing pains, the things that you got, we tell you how much we appreciate you. We tell you certain things that, hey, next week or next year, let's try this. And Jeff Spring himself is personally very active on that page addressing us. And, you know, I think that that is definitely something that we all talk about as players, both on that page to Jeff and just amongst ourselves is, you know, it's a big grind just being at every single event. But like you said, certain players that are trying to make a name for themselves, they have to be at all these events, it feels like. So, I just want to say, I really appreciate the initiative to start having the players parking areas and the security teams and all those things that you kind of talked about. But for the listeners that aren't really familiar with what the tour card or the tour pass is, can you talk about that, Brian, for 2022 and moving forward? What exactly are going to be the new things that are going to be implemented under the Disc Golf Pro Tour?
Sure, yeah. And we kind of touched on it a little bit before, and we're just trying to put some infrastructure around those of you that are out there touring week in and week out, not make it, you know, a click race to register. So the tour card is going to be the top 75 men and the top 25 women with some exceptions for the Europeans considered, where you're going to get to register for all of the events. We've seen this in the past. It was called the Tour Pass. This year, there's a little bit more restrictions on who qualifies for that. There's a small fee that it basically equates out to like $40 an event, that is going to go towards a lot of that infrastructure that we mentioned about, a hospitality tent, dedicated player parking, event security. We're even looking into telehealth. And, health insurance options down the road. So that's kind of where we're starting with the tour card program. There's still going to be tiered registrations for our events. We're not trying to shut anyone out or anything like that, but really just make it easier for, the top touring players that are out there to kind of make this a sustainable career choice.
Does that make it harder for local pros to sign up for the events?
I don't think it really makes it harder than what was in years past. It's still a tiered registration. So we are trying to curate the best competitive fields. Once events start to fill, generally the lowest tiers, which would be like 900 rated MPO, would generally be filled up by that time. And overall, our event fields we're not looking to grow them per se. We're kind of paring them down a little bit, trying to increase the FPO division for sure. But in general, like the whole field is getting a little bit more concentrated.
So I have a quick question about how do viewers and how do local people, how do we all help support the overall growth of the Disc Golf Pro Tour as a viewer and from a consumer standpoint?
You can subscribe to the Disc Golf Network. That's the best one.
Awesome. That's what I was hoping for.
That's such a huge part of why we're able to do what we do, is because of all the awesome subscribers that we have on Disc Golf Network. So as far as that goes, and as far as the media, we're that's the best way to get all the live action right when it happens. And then we're still working on, all the time, trying to come up with different ideas to put more content on the Disc Golf Network. So it really does become like a great value for anyone who wants to, not only watch live disc golf, but also get those exclusive interviews and behind the scenes stuff. And we're always trying to expand that.
That's awesome. Would you like to just tell the viewers where maybe they could sign up for that, or what the email address would be, or web page, all of that stuff?
Yeah. Discgolfnetwork.com. It's awesome. That easy. Go check that out. And you can sign up right there. You can also take a look at it. There's a lot of information on our website, dgpt.com.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah, and it's been pretty recent that with the Disc Golf Network subscription, y'all are starting a bunch of new series on there. You had Yuli's new series on there, Scratch to Scratch. And then you had, I saw an ad for a new series with Brian Earhart about the history of disc golf. And those are exclusive to Disc Golf Network, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. We have a whole, we have some people looking just at, non-live content, on the Disc Golf Network. While everyone's really focused on the live stuff, we're trying to really curate a good list of, shows and exclusive content and all great podcasts and stuff. We already have a great lineup right now, I think. And it's just going to get better, I think.
Shout out to Jamie Thomas there. He's our media content manager, so he's leading the charge on getting all that programming out there on the Disc Golf Network for when we're not out on the course.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And with COVID, and definitely with COVID, but also then in each off season, it's like you kind of have this itch to try to get more content. And I've realized that you know, and maybe that's hiring Jamie Thomas and content, you know, management, content creators, that you guys have filled those gaps in time where, hey, maybe we don't have tournaments, but there's still a bunch of stuff to digest on Disc Golf Network. And for me, I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm not getting anything for selling this Disc Golf Network, but I personally think that it is the best way to watch disc golf. I mean, think about watching your favorite sport. You don't go watch football post-production. You don't watch, you see it live. And for all those people that are saying spoiler alert, I think that's kind of plagued us in the sport that, you know, yeah. I just see live disc golf as being very, very exciting. And I'm thankful that you guys have started this and then also come to the point where you're fine tuning the way that it works. And as someone that's seen it progress from Steve Dodge into Jeff Spring and from, you know, I don't know what your media equipment transition has been, but you can definitely tell the quality's better, the planning's better, everything is on the up, and yeah, it's definitely worth the whatever, I think $9.99 a month or $4.99 if you're a PDGA member. So definitely you guys sign up, help support the Disc Golf Pro Tour, and obviously get yourself some good coverage.
I would also add on to the Disc Golf Network subscription, to just come out to an event, find an event that's hopefully, you know, somewhat local. I know we don't get into every area of the country, but if you can pick out an event to come travel to, definitely come out and experience it in person.
Yeah, I actually went to my very first Disc Golf Pro Tour event. The championship event actually was my very first one. And that was such an experience, like completely night and day difference to watching it post-production, like Paige was saying. And I just have to say, you guys work so hard, like so hard. Watching you run around and like control a crowd and just run from one shot to the next, like it's impressive. It's well done.
Well, thank you.
Joe, I actually have a question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, what was the thing that you would have never known unless you went to that event? Like, what were the things that you were like, whoa, that happens? And like just the things that impressed you or surprised you?
Yeah, so some of the things that impressed me, I got to watch basically every single card. I think I got to watch every one for that event. And one of the most impressive things was watching how many volunteers, like you were saying, Brian, there were so many people that help out and so many people that probably don't do this on a regular basis, but the amount of training that you have provided them, it was impressive to see them just kind of take the reins on that and feel confident in their role. And I just felt like it was like they have been doing this for quite some time, like it felt like quite ironed out and like smooth. And the other thing for me was just watching and seeing all of the media camera crew just kind of like using their walkie-talkies and just kind of chatting with one another in their ears. And like, you could just see them. They all just knew exactly where they needed to be at what time. And it just, yeah, I don't know. It seemed very effortless, but you could tell, obviously, you're putting quite a bit of effort into making that happen. But yeah, seemed really, really smooth.
Yeah. We had a whole season of practice before the tour championship.
No doubt. Yeah, that's true. So,
but it was a good point. I mean, it felt like a lot of things did come together on that last event. And yeah, you're right. It was one of those things where all the work went in beforehand. And when the first disc was thrown, it was just kind of do what we know how to do now. So it's cool that we've gotten to that point for sure.
Yeah. And another thing, very actually, cool. Paige, that really impressed me, like, I didn't realize how quickly you guys play golf. Like, you are so quick at playing golf. And for me, I just, as a someone who's watching from home, you think like, oh, they're probably like taking their time, letting the camera crew get set up. But no, like you guys are just jumping in there. You're playing your golf and they kind of just have to do their work to get the shot. But it's impressive how well you guys do that.
Yeah, on certain events, I think, you know, mostly the ones that come to mind are the ones that we know are going to be on ESPN. Every once in a while, Jeff will come over, or maybe Sam, usually it's not Sam, usually it's Jeff or Brian, and they say, hey, we need 20 seconds, you know, because we're trying to make the right timing for the show. And, you know, that does lead me to the next thing I was going to talk to you guys about is it's not a question. It's more of a, you know, an idea for you guys. I think that it would be really, really cool to have some sort of show on the Disc Golf Network or just put it on YouTube or wherever showing the studio, the booth that, you know, you just said, Joe, that Sam's on his walkie and he's talking. Well, it's not just to Trent and to Cam and to the other videographers on site. He's talking back to the booth where they're taking this footage live and putting graphics up and switching. They're like, okay, Cam 2, Cam 3, okay, Cam 1, why are you looking down at the ground? You know, and it's just really cool to see, like, hey, it's live. Like, people need to go to the restroom. People sneeze, you know, people, whatever the case may be, and you guys just take the punches and roll with it. I think it would be really cool, even for myself, to see what all goes into the process of not just taking the video, but then how do you get it made to be TV ready? I think that is very fascinating.
That would be so
I always love that stuff. I'm a big broadcast nerd. I've been doing this a long time, so I've always loved stuff like that. I've learned a lot by watching stuff like that too, but I don't know if we're quite ready to have everybody see what's going on behind the scenes. We'll get there for sure. I think if people are interested, that's great. I love to hear that people are interested in how it all works together. It's a lot of fun. I love talking about it. I love sharing it, and I love teaching people how it all works. So
that's very cool. Well, if you're not able to maybe share that behind the scenes, like aspect of it right now, do you have any like funny fails that have happened that you're able to talk about, or funny things that have happened where you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this happened, we're doing live TV right now? Like, do you have anything like that?
Maybe one of my favorite behind the scenes moments is there was a backup at Northwoods Black, and one of our camera operators needed to go to the bathroom, and he goes up to Brian and he goes, hey, Brian, can you hold my camera?
Oh my goodness.
And Brian's on the call too. Brian can hear. And so our camera operator, Cam, he goes, hey, guys, camera 3 needs to, you know, go down for a second. I got to go to the bathroom. And so he, you know, gets on. He does what he's supposed to, tells everybody. And then he hands the camera to Brian. He goes off. And then next thing you know, you just hear like, and ready, 3. Take 3.
Oh,
and you just see
no.
Brian's eyes get like super wide. He's like, oh, what do I do?
He's like, this is not my job. I don't know what I'm supposed
just
to do.
Just don't move the camera.
Oh my goodness. Just follow that disc. Follow that disc. Follow that player. Oh my goodness.
He did great. Kept it nice and steady. I think eventually they're like, why isn't 3 moving? And then they're like, oh yeah. I remember now. And so that was one of my favorite moments.
I mean,
I learned that day
happens.
That if you're going to hold the camera for a camera operator that's got to go take care of something, just point it at the ground and they won't
come to
you.
Then they won't do anything.
Don't point it down the fairway.
That's right.
Yeah, don't point it down the fairway because they think you're ready.
Yes. That's unreal.
That is so funny. Great question, Joe. Love hearing that. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you guys want to share that, you know, you're excited about coming soon with the Disc Golf Pro Tour, or just anything that you kind of want the general public to know that maybe we don't?
Great question. I'm excited for the season to get back underway. I'm excited for the new hires that we're making. I'm excited for our company to really kind of move from being a startup to being a more mature business that is, you know, sustainable for the employees and just, you know, kind of arrives at a great model for spectators to watch in both online and in-person capacities. So
yeah, pretty much echoing Brian, I'm excited about the growth that we're getting right now and the types of people that want to join and be part of it. It's really, really exciting. It makes you feel like you know, we're doing something right that so many people want to come on and join us. I'm excited about the future of live disc golf and how it's evolving right now, and just the different ways that we can, you know, make it better, make it more viewable for people at home.
Is ESPN, like Brian, you touched on it earlier, ESPN is happening in 2022. What has been their feedback so far? Do you guys have follow-up talks with them after it plays and see how they're liking it?
Yeah, I know that in general, you know, these events that we've had, we're kind of feeling out that relationship, making sure it's a good partnership. And I know that going into the future, we're looking to integrate, you know, with the technology that they have and making sure that our technology works with it. I know that's a little vague. I'm going to save the exclusives for another time. But yeah, I mean, we're going to continue working with them and developing that relationship and giving them a product that they can host through their channels. So
more disc golf on live TV.
Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for your time and answering all of our questions and taking some ideas too. I'm sure that our listeners are going to have lots of comments and stuff. So we'll try to pass those along to you guys and try to get some fresh ideas too.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for your time and for giving us a little insight into what goes on in the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. I had a great time. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. That was great. I would do it again in a heartbeat. So
I love it.
I really loved talking to them. I talk to them all the time on the Disc Golf Pro Tour, of course, at the events, but it was cool to kind of pick their brain because it moves so fast when we're at the events, like you heard from them. They're so busy. So it was cool to pick their brains off the course and kind of get inside and hear what they talk about. And I loved, you know, hearing about their fails. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I had to bring that one up because I'm sure there's so many things that go on behind the scenes that we don't see or that we don't notice or just, yeah, I don't know. Like you said, they're moving so fast. So there's so many things that they're involved with. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool to see how many jobs that are opening up as well for the Disc Golf Pro Tour and just ways that us as viewers, we can contribute to that and contribute all of that.
Yeah, I was so surprised when they said four people and it just,
right?
the amount of work that they do is just like mind blowing. So I think what he was meaning though, was that they had four people on staff on the media team.
Yes,
in 2021.
Right.
So 2022, we're going to see more of that. We're going to see more people in the booth. We're going to see new positions. And they were kind of alluding to some good things from ESPN. So I can't wait to hear that announcement, but
yeah,
one of the
so make sure you go watch
them,
that coverage.
Yeah, make sure.
Right,
you
that's
do.
What the viewers need to do. They need to watch that coverage so that we ESPN can see all the people that are buying into all of that.
Exactly, and that's what I was just gonna say, Joe. Was one of the questions that you asked was how can we help? And I think that is something so big is just to tune in and view because that number you watching has a tangible number. And that is what ESPN wants, is to see those numbers. And, you know, as far as the Disc Golf Network goes, all of that money that you guys are paying and that I'm a member as well. So all the money that we are paying for Disc Golf Network is going straight back to the tournaments. It's going straight back to making more content, hiring more people so that you get more angles. And I know a lot of people are really loving like the footage you're seeing on backups of players playing games, hacky sacking and stuff like that. So, you know, your money directly goes into helping the Disc Golf Pro Tour and you to be able to see more disc golf coverage.
Exactly. That's such a tangible way for people to support the growth of disc golf. Definitely, Paige.
So something that he kind of started to talk about, but I've had a very in-depth conversation with Jeff Spring actually, was that not only do you have to be in a place with good cell coverage, not only do you have to have a championship level course, but you have to have the numbers on site too, not just on Disc Golf Network or
right.
on post-production through Joma's Pro, but you have to have a venue that has enough space for people, but also a community that wants to come and watch the events. We went to a few events this year that had the room to host those 3,000 to 5,000 players, like he's saying, but the community didn't really show up. And so that is something to think about, is if you want the Disc Golf Pro Tour to come to your city, or if they already have and you want them to continue to come back, you guys, I can't encourage you enough to go buy a spectator pass and go support disc golf, because that is how it's going to keep coming back. Make sure whatever you're doing that weekend, schedule it for the following weekend. The disc golf pro tour is only going to come through your town once a year if you're lucky. So make sure that you get out there and see it. And Joe, as someone that's been to a disc golf pro tour event, tell them, is it worth it or not?
Oh my word. Is it worth it? Of course it's worth it. You don't get that kind of atmosphere anywhere else. It's so worth it. I would highly, highly recommend. And I definitely will be back in 2022.
Yeah, you had a very cool experience going to the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship last year. I saw your video through Jomez, and you know, you got to like take a shot of maple syrup with Thomas Gilbert and do some other fun stuff with all the pros that you've been watching.
I got to caddy with you, so that was pretty cool.
That was awesome. That was awesome to have you on the bag. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was fun.
Kind of get a look at what goes on, like, you can just hear me talk to myself, basically, you know, all the little things.
It's great. Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what? That was one of the highlights for me, for sure, was just getting to experience the professional side of disc golf. But even as a viewer or as like a spectator, you can totally see it too. But getting to view the professional side of disc golf, but like right in the action, like you don't have any breaks, you don't have any ads, you don't have anything. So like, yes, go to an event. It's so worth it.
And what another way that disc golf is approachable, right? That you can pay the passes to get to a disc golf pro tour event are between $25 and $75. And that gets you all weekend long. And that gets you so close up to the action, right? What other sport, if you want front row seats at a basketball game or a football game, you're talking thousands of dollars. And those players aren't going to be looking at you, posing for photos with you. You're not going to, you know, and so how approachable is that you can pay $75 or less and you can hear them breathing. You can feel like everything happening. I think that is something so cool about the sport of disc golf, and, I couldn't recommend it more than just go out and go to a local event. Even if it's a couple hour road trip, grab some buddies, get in the car, make a road trip out of it, and have a good time.
Exactly. And be in the moment. Like, there's so many ways to experience disc golf, like we were saying, but no other event or other sporting event are you like that much more in the moment. Like, if you're watching from home, you're probably multitasking or doing a couple other little things and working or whatever else you might be doing. But when you're at the event, your whole attention is on each shot, just like those pros. So yeah, I would say go check it out. It's so fun.
Yeah. And if you want to, while you're there, like they said, another way to help them out on the Disc Golf Pro Tour is to volunteer. So make sure you guys check out their website, see how you could volunteer and get up close, maybe be a spotter for a certain hole, help one of the pros find their disc, you know. These discs are, sorry, I'm going to go on a little tangent right here. The spotters are so awesome. Like, when you start to have those moments of like, oh my gosh, where's my disc? Where's my favorite passion? Oh my God, I can't find my passion. And you're like, your card mates start a clock and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my favorite disc and I'm going to get stroked. And then the spotter finds your disc and you just want to hug them. And you're just like, thank you so much. And like, you know, that's something you won't forget, whether you're the spotter finding the disc and helping Paige Pierce out, or the player being like, oh my God, you saved me. And, you know, I think that it's a cool experience. And if you do want to kind of get your foot in the door with the Disc Golf Pro Tour, maybe they have a new position opening soon. You know, it's not just marketing and media. They just opened up a whole position, a whole department of environmental services, you know, health department, you know, all these new roles that they're filling. So go volunteer, meet some pros, get your foot in the door with the Disc Golf Pro Tour and join the community.
Exactly. And if it's so out of the way for you and you're international or anything of that sort, just don't forget that there's also the Disc Golf Network you can subscribe to, and you can watch live disc golf wherever you are. So that's another huge plus. So take them up on that. It's pretty awesome what they're doing.
Absolutely. Get some exclusive content. And if you're listening, make sure you send us an email to approachable@jomezpro.com. Send us some stuff direct. I mean, send us all kinds of questions, comments, concerns, but to us, but also so that we can relay it to the Disc Golf Pro Tour people and say, hey, one of our listeners had this awesome idea. I think you should implement this. But if you are viewing on YouTube, just leave a comment below and, you know, make sure you guys hit us with all these questions. We got a whole team that's going to be answering your questions and concerns, and we really, really appreciate all of your feedback so far.
Definitely. Thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait for you to join us on the next one.